You are listening to Affirmations for Living with Edvige, where each week you're invited to join in our upbeat discussion as we look deeper into spiritually based principles that can change your life. We know that change can open doorways to new beginnings, and we are dedicated to helping you make the changes needed to improve your life. And now, here is your host, Reverend Dr. Edvige. Hello, everyone, and welcome in once again to Affirmations for a Living. It is my pleasure to be here with you and to let you know how much you are loved and appreciated for tuning in, because I know you have made the choice to be here in this moment and to hear what the message is so that it really moves your heart. It is my goal, my desire, to bring you week to week tools to empower, uplift, and inspire you to be the best that you can be, and to help you take control of your life so that you understand that everything you are experiencing is because you are creating it, consciously or not. So together, we can begin to create the life that you want consciously. And of course, if you like what you hear, please tell your friends. Also visit me on my website, affirmationsforliving.net. You know, I have a book out, You're Not Crazy, You're Awakening, as that journals my amazing experience of awakening with all the different beings that have come in and shared so much with me. So I invite you to get that today. So with no further ado, my guest today, Carolyn Gervais, is the author of I Dreamed I Was Human. That really caught my attention when I saw that and had to have her on. It's Awakening from the Illusion, and we talk so much week to week about this illusion, this matrix, and how to detach from it if we are to truly become these light beings, these divine beings that we are. And so she has been frequently published in the Sedona Journal of Emergence, has been a guest on numerous radio and TV shows, and she's often a contributor on websites focused on metaphysical spirituality, and that's what we're all about here at Affirmations for Living. She's also an ordained minister, spiritual psychology, a certified hypnotist, and has a master's degree in holistic nutrition. Of course, this also caught my attention because Carolyn was also a professional singer for over 20 years. And well, I've been a singer for quite some years myself, so delighted to see that as well. So welcome in, Carolyn. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Thank How are you, you doing today?
I am well, thank you.
Good.
Enjoying this amazing weather.
Yeah.
So if you would just briefly share with the audience your spiritual journey and what that really looks like for you and where it all started.
Well, it started actually when I was just a really small child. I just realized one day that I was here on this earth. And it was kind of a shock to me because all of a sudden I was here. And I did have a memory of the place where I came from, and it was nothing like here. It was much more peaceful and loving and not confusing, where here seemed very confusing and chaotic and just like people running around like chickens with their heads cut off. And as I looked out at the world around me, I remember thinking, how did I get here and why am I here? And how am I going to get back to where I was before I came here? And I'm not talking about my mother's womb. I'm talking about a place where I knew was really my home. And it didn't feel like this. And I was determined that somehow I was going to figure out this place where I found myself on Earth and find my way back to where I came from. And that was my first experience. And there's been many, you know, over a lifetime. So that was my very first.
Interesting. So let me ask you, do you know where that place was?
I don't have a name for it. Mm-hmm. I didn't have a name for it then. Either I just remember looking at this world through a white gauzy haze, like there was this veil, or what people would call a veil, but to me, I could see through it, but it was white. And I didn't realize that I was seeing the world through that until when I was 5 years old, it was suddenly just disappeared. It just suddenly disappeared.
Very interesting how we come through the veil into a new existence. And so you tried to figure out why you were here, and that's a little bit about what we'll be speaking on today,
yes.
Why you're here, why we're all here. So
right.
Very interesting, fascinating. So how did you come up with the title of your book, I Dreamed I Was Human, Awakening from the Illusion?
Well, I have studied everything in this field since I was 17 years old in any kind of out-of-the-box type of way of thinking. I studied it because I learned early on that the adults around me didn't have any answers to my questions, and so they were into the normal types of teachings that they were brought up with their parents, and so I felt I had to search outside the box by getting my hands on anything I could read that was different and unusual in the metaphysical, spiritual, and even extrasensory perception, even ghosts and how they came about, what they were. So I've dabbled in everything just to find my own answers. And I learned meditation very early on through Eastern philosophy, and I studied that diligently. And it seemed to teach me more faster. So I realized through all of that that really we are dreaming this dream, because we came from somewhere else. We came from our real home, which is somewhere that I can't put into words, but I have visited there even in my meditation, so I know it is real and it does exist. And I know that we perceive our lives through our free will, the gift of free will that we were given when we came into human form. And this free will allowed us to choose how we wanted to create our lives. It even allowed us to choose the relationships we were in and those we chose to walk away from. It through our choices and our beliefs and our perceptions, we have created a life out of thought and the ability to conceive and perceive thought as with meaning and purpose. And it is through this perception, which is not an absolute, it is only through what we have created to be true for us in our minds, in our lives, in our relationships. And that's what our relationships are all made up with, those perceptions of what we believe to be true. But there's nothing to prove that those perceptions are real, especially when we are coming from our five senses. It's not possible. So all we have to go on is what we know at the moment and do our best with what we have.
Absolutely. You know, and I'm going to step back for a second, because I so agree with you that we did not originate from Earth. And I have actually been visited by my benevolent terrestrial mother. And so I know that we came here to expand, right? We came here,
yes.
And we moved through the veil. And like you, I've seen the other side. I've been,
yes,
visited by beings from the other side.
Yes.
In fact, probably 15 different types of beings,
yes,
from the other side. So that is very real. And we are really sitting sort of like in the matrix. I actually had a meditation where I went to a bright light way out beyond. I moved into this light and it was the essence of me.
Yeah.
And when I turned around to look back, I saw my projection of me back on Earth.
Yes, exactly.
So it's fascinating.
Yes.
Now, so when you were a little girl and you saw the veil, was that your first experience that sparked the desire to figure out what human life was about?
Yes, that was. I was like a between 2 and 4 at that time, and I know it's hard to believe that a little child can think, but you see, that's what we are. We are conscious beings, and even though we're in a child body where the brain is not yet conditioned for this earthly realm, we still can think.
Absolutely. And you know, there's another really interesting point that you're making here is because when you are young, the veils haven't been up that long, so you can still see through the illusion into the truth. And
Yes.
so you were actually speaking the truth of more of the actuality than we realize. You know, we have that connection when we're young, but through the conditioning, the programming, and then connecting into that false illusion, we begin to lose it. So it's fascinating that you early on saw everything because, well, that was the truth of it.
Right.
So why are our beliefs our truth and our bondage?
Because beliefs are made up through our perceptions and our experiences that have nothing to prove that those beliefs are real. So all we can do is take what we've been told, what we've seen, what we've experienced, and use it as our truth until we have our own proof that is beyond the five senses. As long as we are trying to see truth purely through the five senses, we're not going to see it. So truth, beliefs can be our bondage because they are not absolute truths.
Wow. And we could go on and on about that because now we're
Yes.
talking about truth of the religions and there, you know, there's all these
Exactly.
different religions. However, there has to be one truth. So where does all of this, you know, that is definitely the bondage when we start to connect outside of ourselves and we go to all of these outside things trying to make sense of them, that really then holding us back in a sense.
Right.
Have we relinquished the control of our destiny by being human?
We have to the degree that we are unaware of who we are beyond the human ability to exist through the five senses. That is how we have relinquished control through thought, through our false beliefs of who we are. But that doesn't mean we can't get it back. It's just a matter of looking deeper and going beyond who we think we are to who we really are. And that takes looking and studying and meditating and contemplating and doing anything we can to see beyond the five physical senses.
So that's what you would suggest. The first place would be the desire to want to
Oh,
move
definitely.
beyond
Yes.
and then start to meditate. What are some other ideas that you think people listening could start to do that would help them move beyond the bondage?
We need to look at ourselves and everything we believe, everything we feel, everything we think, everything we've experienced that is unresolved or unhealed, anything that sabotages us, that has a tendency throughout our life, the same things happen over and over again and sabotage us. We have to look at why, what is underneath that, what belief, what false belief about ourselves, about life, about someone else, about who we are as human or spiritual beings, and really contemplate all of these things and look at every aspect so that we can know what is sabotaging us and what is helping us. And we can see that in our relationships. As we look at all of our relationships and we see which ones are harmonious and which ones aren't, there are many reasons why some relationships are harmonious and others aren't. And one reason is because we have a tendency to only become friends with people that agree with everything that we believe. And we don't want to go outside that, because that means we might have to change. We might have to see something about ourselves that we don't like. And that's uncomfortable, but that's where we have to go, to that uncomfort. Go outside the box, beyond all of it, and look inside yourself, and objectively, but know, listen to what you know is really true. Mm. For instance, if you have a problem with somebody in your life, that no matter when you get with that person, problems begin, arguments or disagreements or whatever, the energy doesn't feel good. We have to go into silence and look at that and ask ourselves, what part am I playing in this relationship not being harmonious? And when we can see clearly and honestly what parts we have played in this relationship to make it non-harmonious, then that's when we start changing.
Yes, and that would be really difficult.
Yes,
because
it is difficult.
So many people don't want to do that.
That's right.
So many people, yeah.
And so I say, well, if a person is not ready to do that, then they're not ready.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes much getting tired of the pain and the suffering and the disappointment and the relationships, everything that just isn't working in our life. It takes getting so tired with it that we want to know the truth more than anything about ourselves. And when we get to that point, that's when we start searching.
Exactly. It's also so easy to blame others, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
So I didn't make that happen. They did it. If they didn't, they shouldn't have said it that way. They shouldn't have done that. Why
exactly
did they say it? And all sorts of excuses. And
right. And
I think that's really what you're leading to, is that we,
no
more outside excuses. We are the ones creating the experience. And so if it's not in harmony, it's because we're probably doing something to add to that. And so it really is about accepting responsibility for your thoughts, your feelings, your actions, knowing that you're the cause of the effect.
Right. And also knowing that everyone has their baggage. Everyone has their stuff to deal with. And so the more we can deal with ours, the more we can understand someone else's baggage and be more patient with them, and maybe be able to say something that helps them deal with that baggage in a positive way.
Absolutely. So what part does pre-wiring play in our spiritual journey?
Well, we come in pre-wired because we are multidimensional beings that are existing everywhere, somewhere, and everywhere in the cosmos, in some kind of form or non-form, whatever the case may be. We are intelligent, spiritual, conscious thought. That's what we are. We create. We are creative beings. And we come in with programming from all these other existences, not necessarily conscious programming, but it's there, and little bits and pieces of it. And so we come in with certain things, certain parts of this baggage that we want to surface or be triggered by life to surface, so that we can change it, transform it, rise above it, heal it, whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
And so that pre-wiring determines how it helps to determine how we see life, how we perceive ourselves and other people, and it also determines, because of that, those perceptions, we create and manifest certain experiences because of how we perceive and see life. And we are being programmed constantly, as children, especially by the adults in our life, especially our parents, and we take on their programming. So what we do is we take on their programming mix it with our programming, our pre-wiring, and it becomes something else, or it manifests differently. In some ways it might be the same, but it'll manifest in another way for us, because it's all these different ways of thinking and believing that change how we see life compared to how our parents see life.
Mm-hmm.
So we mix that all together and we form our own perceptions about what that programming has taught us.
So what do you believe is the purpose for this existence in the human form?
We are here because we have been here many times, and we will continue to be here until we master this human existence. We came in, and we came in human forms and probably many other forms. We created blockages. We created beliefs that blinded us to the truth. We created experiences that made us believe certain things, or made us become selfish or harmful to life around us. Mm-hmm. And these cannot all be dealt with in one existence, in one lifetime. It takes time. And so we come in and we deal with the ones we can deal with, that we become conscious of and aware of, and we heal them through whatever way we choose to do that, through study, through counseling, through interconnecting with our own soul and our own life essence, in any way that we know to do, in order to heal what we came here to heal, because this is where we created the blindness. This is where we created the self-sabotage and the false beliefs and illusions of what life is for and or not for. And so this is the only place it can be undone, because that's where the energy is. And we have to be in that energy to bring it back up in us so we can look at it and transform it.
Mm. Interesting. So now, also, when I was reading your bio, you said that you're a hypnotist. So do you do that work to help people to get into some deeply seated programs, or how do you assist people?
Yes. I have helped people with different kinds of problems, but hypnotherapy is good when somebody is really is seriously wanting to understand themselves, and it does serve a purpose. But there are, I think, even deeper ways of dealing with our issues. Through our own self-contemplation, as long as we are willing to be honest with ourselves. And this is what hypnotherapy can help a person do, is to be willing and to become willing to be completely honest with themselves, instead of creating denial or going into denial or excuses for what we have experienced in our lives. And I have seen lots of people through hypnotherapy, working with people in hypnotherapy, who come to be hypnotized because they think that automatically they're going to be programmed, reprogrammed by some magic word or some magic experience they have. And that is a possibility if that person is ripe for that.
Mm-hmm.
But if they are not, and they are just looking for another excuse to stay the way they are or do as little as possible to change, then it won't work.
So it's an inside job, folks.
It's an inside job. Yes,
that's what
is.
Carolyn's saying. It's an inside job. You
but
have to
hypnotherapists
go in.
Can guide you in that.
Absolutely.
Inside job.
Yeah. Fascinating, indeed.
Yeah.
So why do you feel that all experiences are a gift? And are they a gift?
Yes, they are, because we come into this world, like I said, with free will. So we create all of these experiences and challenges in our life, and then when we suffer the consequences of those beliefs and challenges, we wonder why we're suffering. If we have done something, let's say we know was not a good thing to do for us, it was just not the right thing to do for anybody, let alone ourselves, and we do it anyway, and we expect to get away with it with no consequences ever, then what comes back to us is going to be something that isn't comfortable to deal with, because that's the only way it's going to wake us up to what we should not have done, what was not the best thing for us to do. So it comes back to us a lot of times as a challenge, as a problem. And so we have to look at it like, well, this is in my life now because it's going to show me what I wasn't seeing in this situation or that situation or whatever experience I went through in my life that was painful, and I didn't learn from it. So every experience, no matter how it feels, is a gift because it's giving us a chance to wake up to how to make that change in our life and transform what we learn from that experience, transform the challenge of that experience into a bigger picture of who we are as these light beings.
You know, okay, so I'm going to be...
the devil's advocate?
Yes. Okay, ahead. You've had a lovely life. I've had a lovely life. Okay? Someone out there listening and they are struggling. Finances just aren't going well. They may be out of a job. Or they might, whatever. Illness runs in the family, just all sorts of things. How do you take a person who is so low, feeling so bad, like the world is absolutely against them, nothing is going right, I can't do anything right, how do you tell that person that they're experiencing gifts?
I've been there. I've been to the bottom of the bottom of the bottom many times in my life. And I can tell you, it served me, the bottom served me in asking why. Why am I experiencing this? What is this showing me? And so if you can't see what it, if we can't see what it is showing us right away, then we have to accept that what we are experiencing is pulling something up from the depths of our being that will help us to transform the situation. And sometimes it is necessary to feel what we are feeling to uncover what we have been burying inside of us that has made this situation so painful or has helped it to continue to be painful, because we are not looking at it for what it is showing us about ourselves or about life or someone else. Even if it's the most horrible thing you can experience. Yes, it takes time to be able to come out of that sadness and that feeling like you're living in hell. But, and so we stay there as long as we feel we have no other choice. But at some point, we get to the point where we say, wait a minute, I've got to come out of this now. I can't live the rest of my life feeling this way. It will destroy me. So what can I do? And we start looking for ways to enhance our life, whether it be to go out and do something for someone else or help someone to accomplish something that they want to accomplish, or to just be kind and loving, go visit somebody that is sad and down and out and try to help them bring their spirits up. All of these things that we do outside of ourselves that help us see a better way of living and to move beyond our pain, helps us to transform our pain, and in the process can transform somebody else's as well.
Beautiful. And that's so important. I think it has a lot to do with faith and belief and just knowing that there's a bigger picture. And
yes.
If I don't see the whole of that picture, knowing that if I move through faith and I move in the right direction, that eventually the light will shine brightly on me and I will recognize this chaotic event as a gift that it actually is, because eventually it will bring me into harmony. And that's really what it's about. Having, you know, I call it my chaos into harmony moment, because that contrast is why we're here. That
yes.
contrast is what's going to cause us to move forward and to expand as amazing beings of light that we are. So just think about it for a minute. If you are a divine, perfect being, which we all are, and that's our origins, and we came forth to expand, all of those chaotic moments, all of that stuff that seems so awful, is because you're such a powerful being that you want to grow as fast as you can. And so on the other side, you're like, I can take it. This is nothing. This is not a challenge, you know? And so you came forth and you had all these crazy things happen because that was going to push you the furthest back into expansion. And if we can step outside ourselves for a minute and realize the bigger picture, then we're going to recognize that, yes, in fact, those experiences are gifts indeed.
Right. And the thing is, we agreed. We agreed to these mm-hmm. human lives. And so we agreed to be somewhat blind and somewhat deaf and sometimes
mm-hmm.
somewhat ignorant, you know, because that is part of being in this duality. And because we thought of it as souls, we thought that, oh, wow, this will be different. This will be entertaining. Let's see what would happen if I pretended I wasn't a spiritual being. And you know, it's like kind of child's play, really, to the soul. But then when we get here and we've created all these layers upon layers upon layers on ourselves because of so much we haven't seen through time after time after time through each experience, then it gets to the point where it's weighing us down so much that we have to feel the pain sometime. We have to feel pain sometime in order to want to rise above it and be more of who we are as these spiritual beings. What else is going to make us want to rise up into who we are as these beautiful light beings when we're being held down by this baggage? What's going to lift us up? Pain, because that makes us want to move real quick.
Absolutely. You know, and it's so interesting when you think about this whole experiment. We said we'd come forth and have amnesia, right?
Yes.
It's
yes.
like, I'm going to forget just how wonderful and perfect I am, and I'm this divine light, and I'm going to go forth completely blinded, and I'm going to fumble through it. And, you know, it's going to be okay, because eventually I will fumble through it and find my way back home. And boy, if we can really embrace that idea, that will change our perception of so much.
It will, and it will also help pull us out when we are suffering so much and we're thinking, oh my gosh, I'm being punished for something. No, we're not being punished for anything. All we are doing is trying to see through the illusion. Sometimes that feels like punishment, but it isn't punishment. We brought it on ourselves
mm-hmm.
because of our beliefs in our own illusions. And so when we can look at it like that, then it's a lot easier to let it go, because then we're not feeling like victims. We're feeling like, oh, I'm learning something. I'm growing from this. I'm becoming more of who I really am as this wonderful light being.
See, and boy, if we could get that,
yeah.
if everyone could get that,
yep.
what a change that would be. I mean, that's truly a paradigm change. It's like, okay, this really is about Just moving along with the process. I know that these little things coming up are going to help me to expand and grow, and I'm stretching. Wow, okay, this isn't so bad. Oh, yeah, that's life-altering if we can really understand that concept right there.
And we have to realize we always have help from that other side, from that other, that soul light aspect of us. We always have help. But we can only get the help that we can recognize and understand and use. So the help isn't always going to be what we think it's going to be, because we wouldn't believe it if we saw it. We wouldn't understand what it was trying to show us.
So true, you know, and I have so many guides on the other side. And it's so interesting when we begin this journey of awakening, isn't it just fascinating? How things show up.
Yes.
I mean, I've had outside voices talk to me. I've had inside voices talk to me. I've asked a question, turned on the radio, and a song would be playing. I'm like, really?
Yep.
Okay. I've seen signs. They've come in and touched me and brought me to different worlds. It's amazing.
I call them miracles. I mean, the more we are willing to wake up, the more we notice the miracles in our life. Mm-hmm. And I mean personal miracles, things that you just can't even explain. And you know it's a miracle. And you know that's, I call it a waking up gift.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's to be childlike about it, right?
Exactly.
To allow yourself to be naive, to allow yourself to be vulnerable. That's a good thing, because that says you have an open and receptive heart.
Exactly.
And that's a part of receiving those gifts and recognizing them.
Yes.
So, yeah, it definitely is a mind shift. And we're going to talk about that a little bit, about the understanding that the universe works in accordance with being positive. So that's really important that we get that.
Mm-hmm.
So do we all experience alternate realities and parallel lives? Isn't that just fascinating?
Yes, we do, but we don't recognize them as such most of the time, unless you do. See, and that's the difference. When you do, then you know you're experiencing them all the time on some level, some way, but it's not like a bolt of lightning striking you, you know. For me, this is another one that I call one of those waking up gifts, is I have actually experienced alternate and parallel lives while I was awake and moving around on a day-to-day basis. So, but had there not been someone with me at the time to tell me that, no, they didn't see that, I just saw it, I would have thought, oh, well, that was just perfectly normal. You know, I would have thought that was just happening, you know, and it really is. It really is. Just because I'm seeing it, this particular frequency level, and this other person isn't, doesn't mean it's not happening for me. It just means that I'm working out of two frequencies at the same time, and that's how I was able to recognize the two. Does that make any sense?
Oh, absolutely. No, okay. It absolutely does. I've gone into altered states of consciousness where I was actually awake and moved into other dimensions.
Sure.
And it's interesting how we are multidimensional. And as we begin to break the walls down, these veils down, we really can move through. Even in the evening time, you know, where I am now, it's 5:38. Mm-hmm. I start to see things pixelated. And mm-hmm. so the illusion of this 3D world is starting to break down.
Yes.
It's fascinating. We are multidimensional. I've actually had friends who, years ago, she said she was a postal driver, delivered mail. And one day she's driving, and the next thing she knows, as she's sitting there, she moved into a completely different world.
Sure. I've done it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's absolutely fascinating. And I guess in the beginning can be a little scary if you're not prepared for that.
Well, we will not experience anything that we are not prepared for. Even if it's a little scary, we're still prepared for it, or we wouldn't have experienced it. We were still able to see it and experience it for what it was, because some part of us was ready for that.
Yes, and that's another part of this awakening process is to be open because, boy, oh boy, when you say yes, I'm ready, all sorts of things start to show up.
Yes.
It's, yeah, it
It's
definitely has its
exciting. It
moments.
really, it is.
It
Because you wonder what's going to
is.
happen next.
Yeah, you know, and it's so funny for me, gosh, this process started years ago. Well, I mean, I've been visited by beings since I was 12 years old, but as an adult, it started back in 2004. And I didn't know what would show up. Every night when I would go to bed, I didn't know who was coming in the room to visit, who was going to sit on the bed, who was going to come in. My husband would be out of town, and I would be embraced with this loving, warm embrace. And I'd open my eyes, and an orb would be leaving the room. And I mean, from night to night, I just didn't know what was going to happen. And it's wonderful to know and to hear from you that you're ready. And so when you are ready, the teacher will show up,
Right,
correct?
exactly.
And the
And as
experiences.
children, you were being, you, as a child, you were being prepared for what you would do in the future, as was I. I was being prepared. So I felt like I was being prepared very early because I was determined I was going to do what I'm doing in my life right now at some point.
Isn't that just amazing how some of us are so gifted that we come in? We come in with the knowing. I know that I came in with fourth dimensional consciousness. And what they were showing me when they would come in when I was 12, and this visitations lasted for 6 years.
Wow.
He would take me out of my room. I would fly into the cosmos, literally in with the stars and creation. I would land on a bridge and dive into the depths of the ocean, showing me that I was to be a bridge between heaven and earth for the work that's coming, and it's in the process now. It's
Right.
just amazing. It really is.
And there are many, many, many people that are coming to do just that, that are here to do just that, to help bridge between this world and the other side.
A beautiful thing.
Because it's time for humanity to wake up.
To wake
And this
up.
is why we are in the situation we are in with our world, because it's time to say, okay, how can I heal this? How can I make this right for everyone, not just for me, but for
Until
everyone?
all are wholly ascended and free. So then,
Yes.
what are we learning by being here?
What are we learning by being here? We're
Yes.
learning to be the spiritual beings that we are beyond these five physical senses. That's what we are here for. And that's what this trip to this dimension has always been about, to see if we can find our way back through all of this stuff we made up, this physical world, everything we've experienced, everything we've believed in. See if we can find our way back when it's time to who we really are. And that's why this is a dream. This is a dream. We are dreaming that we are here. We haven't left the other side. We haven't left the where our souls are. We are still there. It's just we have projected ourselves like a movie onto this screen and created this earthly existence and these human forms to give ourselves something to learn, another way to learn, another way to see who we are through our human selves. The soul came in, the soul agreed to come into human existence to experience this world, and we all agreed along with it. Those that went along with this is why we are here. We all said, okay, I'll come too, and we're here.
You know, that's so fascinating because you mentioned the word screen, and I remember early on, probably the second year into all of these visitations, that teacher would, in the middle of the night, I would hear a bell, whether it be a telephone or whatever type of bell, and that was my cue. It would wake me up, and I would go into an altered state, and I would go to my safe place. There would be that first teacher, and he would send me out to somewhere, and I would be standing looking at a screen of me living a life,
right. That's
doing
it. That's
something.
Exactly right. That's
and
right.
When it was done, the screen would go black. It would be done. And I would look down at me. And then I would go back to the safe place, have a discussion with this teacher. And then I would move out of that place and I'd be back in my bed awake. And I'm like, whoa, that was interesting.
Yeah. And that's what it is. We are projecting our thought images of what we are deciding human life looks like for us. Now we have a collective consciousness that is agreeing to see the same things. Mm-hmm. But individually, we all have our individual perceptions of how we see things as well. So collectively, we are helping each other to continue projecting our own personal dream onto this screen and helping each other to find our way through it as we go along. No matter how it looks, we are still each helping each other to find our way. Even if that person is our enemy, they are helping us and we are helping them.
And that's why it's so important that we recognize unconditional love and non-judgment.
Exactly.
Because we all agreed to play our roles. And that's all the physical illusion is doing, playing their particular role.
That's right.
It's not the truth of who they are.
No.
And that's sometimes so difficult for people to understand when we have wars going on, but it's a role they chose to play.
Right. And we've all played the part in creating the hostility on the earth too.
Mm-hmm.
Through the different multidimensional roles we have all played. Sometimes we weren't loving people. Sometimes we were really bad or appeared to be bad people, but nobody's really bad. But we appeared to be that way because we wanted to experience this because we wanted to learn something from this experience.
Exactly.
And who was part of that also agreed to play a part in that role we were playing as well, no matter how it looks. I even remember once I had this experience where I was getting married. It was actually my first husband. I'm not married to him anymore. But anyway, it was my first time I was getting married to him. And we were out in the country somewhere. And there was this kind of shack out a ways away from us, and I heard a noise, or I heard a motor or something, and I thought somebody crashed into this shack, and my fiance and I ran down to this shack. I ran in because I thought maybe somebody was hurt or something, and as I ran in, this guy shot me with a gun right in between my eyes, and I was laying there dying, and I couldn't even stay in my body long enough to say goodbye to this guy. And I knew right at that second, I knew this enemy, this person that killed me, loves me. I knew it. He loved me. He did it because this was the agreement we had.
Mm.
He was to do this to me, and it was out of love.
And that's sometimes really hard to comprehend, but it's so true. You know, I remember this time I was teaching, and someone in the audience had gone through an awful divorce, and she was still bitter from it. And I said, this person loved you so much that in the non-physical, You guys agreed that he would come forth and be that thorn in your side to cause you to take that fork in the road that would cause you to expand spiritually and be where you are. That's how much he loved you. When she realized that, she, of course, began to cry, but she was able to release that energy and see the bigger picture. So we really have to see both sides of the picture.
Yes, we do. Because that is the balancing part of it. We have to balance out the extreme opposites so that we are more in balance within ourselves. We have to balance out our own extremes. Like if we have this extreme feeling about something or someone or even about ourselves that causes us a lot of pain, we can only balance that out by seeing what the other extreme is and finding the middle.
Mm.
Within ourselves.
Makes sense.
And understanding that this is just a chance for us to move into balance more by moving out of the extremes.
Absolutely. So why do we have to be human in order to know ourselves as spiritual essence?
Because when we came into human form. Not at first, but when we came into human form, thousands and thousands and thousands of years into it, we began to think, oh, okay, I'm just going to do what I want, you know. I don't want my higher self telling me what to do. I want to see what I can do on my own. And that's when the ego was born. That's when the ego said, okay, great, now I get to do it all. It's like a little child, you know. Mm-hmm. Child says, no, let me do it. I want to feed myself. You know. So we started losing sight of who we were as these spiritual beings because we started wanting to experience things that weren't really going to be fun necessarily, but we thought they would be. So we started doing all these selfish things and thinking only of ourselves and experimenting with life and see what would harm us and what wouldn't harm us. We were like little children just trying to have fun, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so after a long time, we started believing in our own illusions. We started believing in our own dream of life. We started making up the dream as we went along. We started believing in everything we dreamed ourselves. And that started creating karma and layers and layers of false truths on top of false truths on top of false truths. And so we forgot we were spiritual beings. So we can only find our way back to that by moving through the layers that we have created that have been holding us down from knowing that we are these spiritual beings.
Wow. I dreamed I was human. Wow. That's a mouthful, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because if we really get that, if we really understand that this is but the illusion, this physical body,
right. Mm-hmm.
We really will understand that. It's fascinating. Now, I alluded to earlier about the universal energy and how it works in accordance to us when we're being positive. So how can positive thinking be like a house of cards?
Well, first of all, we have to be willing to want to know the truth about ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And not go into denial and just cover everything over like, oh, nothing's my fault. It's always somebody else's fault, you know. Mm-hmm. And what we have done with positive thinking over the last, I don't know, maybe a couple hundred years or more. I don't know when it all began. We have taken our faults and the things that we don't want to face in ourselves and said, no, okay, I'm through with those. And we shove them down in the denial pile within us and say, no, I don't want to deal with that. I'm just going to think positive and then everything will be great.
Mm.
Well, it doesn't work that way. You can't shove all this garbage down and not expect it to come up at some point and sabotage you. So the only way we cannot build a house of cards around us with all these false truths and denial is to wake up and to face what we need to face within ourselves that is causing us to feel so out of balance with life. And when we can do that, when we think positive, it will be coming from our heart and our wisdom and not from what's not real about us.
Well, and you know, you're speaking about your core essence, see? And that's the funny thing. You know, I'll give an example. So you're thinking positively and you're saying, okay, I want $1 million, but your core belief says you're worth $10. Guess what? You're going to manifest the $10.
Exactly.
And so we have to go into our core and what's really deep within us. And it's not about looking at things with rose-colored glasses. It's about moving through things with the amount of ease that you can move through them, knowing, because if we recognize, back to the gift, if we recognize something to be a gift, then we're going to look at it in a more constructive way. And that's being positive as we move through it.
That's right. That is. And when we can look at everything in our life as positive instead of this is somebody else's fault or I don't deserve this or whatever the case may be, when we can look at it like, okay, this is showing me something. This is great. I'm growing. This is showing me something. Now all I have to do is figure out what that is. So the most positive thing we can do is to say, okay, what is this showing me now? And look at it, really look at it and study it. And before you know it, you will know that that is the most positive thing we can do in life, is to see beyond what we see falsely.
So true. So true. And start looking at the other side of the coin and starting to see things for what they truly are. And that's really taking, you have to be positive in order to do that.
And what is positive, really? It's having faith in yourself.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
When we can have faith in ourselves, we can be positive just about with anything.
Mm-hmm. Belief in yourself.
Right.
Yeah. Fabulous. Okay. So now share your website with us and how we can reach you.
Okay. My personal website is Awakening, AwakeningUYOU, at Comcast. AwakeningU.com. That's what it is, AwakeningU.com. And then you can find on that my website, you can find my music. I have a metaphysical New Age spiritual CD that I wrote all the music and all the vocals, and I do all the vocals and everything too on the CD. It's very much related to what's in my book. My songs are, the words and everything. Mm-hmm. And you can hear a little bit of that on there. And also, I do phone soul charts. They're about an hour long. And what I do is I ask a person a few questions over the internet, and they give me the answers. And by getting their answers, I ask them to put as much feeling as emotion into them as possible, because I'm able to pick up on their energy and then figure out what their soul chart is. And I do that on a phone session, and you'll see that on my website as well. And here's some other interviews that I've done, and yours will be on there too. And my book website is idreamediwashuman.com. And you can buy my book on Awakening on Barnes & Noble or Amazon.com or through iUniverse. And you can Google my name. You can find me. And I'm on Facebook as well. So
fabulous.
You'll be able to find me.
Now, the soul chart, that sounds absolutely fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
And so by them answering particular questions, you're able to tap into the energy and determine how to use, how to tap into the obstacles?
There's different aspects of us that a soul chart consists of. One is the role we came into play this time in this particular life, the goal we wanted to accomplish here, our main goal, how the world looks, sees us through our wiring, the kind of wiring we have, and how the world looks at us because of that wiring. That helps us see how other people see us, and also how we sabotage ourselves. We come in with a chief feature, which is really it's fear-based. Our greatest fear is our chief feature, and that can sabotage us over and over and over again. And once we find out what that is, that can help us overcome that chief feature or that self-sabotaging fear. And then there's other things. We come in with a certain attitude and an outlook on life and what are the best kinds of avenues for us to work in and things like that.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that sounds fascinating and could definitely be beneficial because it sort of gives you a chart of where you are and
right.
what you're wanting to accomplish in this lifetime and
right.
what obstacles you may come in contact with based on your wiring and
right.
how to move through it with grace and ease.
Yep.
Lovely. I love it. Alrighty. Any final thoughts before we end this? It's already been an hour.
Yeah. No. I can't think of any except I wish everybody the best, and I know that everybody listening to your station is they're listening to a great program.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I appreciate that. So I think, let's see, what's the final thought? We came here to expand. If we can recognize that even in those chaotic moments, they're gifts to help us on this journey of awakening, to remembering that this is just a dream and we really are divine beings, and to move through it in a positive way, because that just makes it a little easier for us.
At least in as a positive way as we can at the moment, just by making a move in the direction you want to go is a positive move, even if you don't feel it yet. Just if you have an idea of what direction you want to go in, then take a step in that direction each day, and that's all you need to do. And that will start opening up doors and opening up experiences for us and opportunities.
And so to the person listening, as we're closing this, who is feeling stuck against the wall, I would say, how do we find gratitude for where we are? And what would you say to that person?
I would say we find gratitude because the reason why we don't have gratitude when we are experiencing something or we feel like our back's up against the wall is because we feel like we're a victim. We feel like we're being attacked. But when we can look at it like, wait a minute, this is another stepping stone for me into my own inner awareness of who I am as a spiritual being. So that's what we have gratitude for. And all we have to do is say, okay, help me, universe, whatever you pray to or you ever talk to, help me find my way through this. I am here to do your will.
Beautiful. I want to thank you, Carolyn. This has just been delightful. I've enjoyed it immensely.
Too.
Thank you.
Thank you, sweetie.
Take
I really
care.
Appreciate it. You too.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So there you have it, everyone. Indeed, what a wonderful hour this has been. Affirmations for Living, as you know, it is all about affirming a better way of living. It's about discovering your true, authentic self, isn't it? And doing it in an uplifting, positive way. I'm here to assist you on your journey, so go to my website, affirmationsforliving.net, and I have some new projects coming up that I'm excited to share with you in the near future. And so until next time, be blessed. Take care. This is Dr. Advish. You've been listening to Affirmations for Living with Edwige. Join us again next week, Wednesday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time on the BBS Radio Network, and visit my Facebook page, download my app, Awakened, and visit my website, affirmationsforliving.net. And remember, be the change that you want to see. Until next time, this is Reverend Dr. Edwige. Namaste.